Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Om Vishnu Pada Paramahamsa Parivrajakacharya Shtotar Shri Srimadha Sri Vine Grace Abhaycharan Aravinda Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Anant Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 29, Chapter entitled Bhakti Yoga Text number 5.
Tam Twakhilatma Daiteshwaram Ashritanam. Sarvarthadam Swakrita Visrijet Konu. Ko va bhajet kimapi vismritaye nubhutyaye. Kim va bhave nana tava pada rajo jushamna. Tam tva khilatma daiteshwaram ashritanam. Sarvartadam Swakrit Ved Visrijet Konu. Kova Bhajet Kimapi Vismritaye Nubhutyaye. Kimva Bhavena Tava Pada Prajoju Shamna. Tam Twakhilatma Daiteshwarama Shritana. Sarvartadam Swakrit Ved Visrijet Konu. Kova Bhajet Kimapi Vismritaye Nubhutyaye. Kimva Bhavena Tava Pada Rajoju Shamna. Tam Twakhilatma Daiteshwarama Shritana. Sarvartadam Swakrit Ved Visrijet Konu. Kova Bhajet Kimapi Vismritaye Nubhutyaye. Kimva Bhavena Tava Pada Rajoju Shamna. Tam Twakhilatma Daiteshwarama Shritana. Sarvartadam Swakrit Ved Visrijet Konu. Kova Bhajet Kimapi Vismritaye Nubhutyaye. Kimva Bhavena Tava Pada Rajoju Shamna.
Word by word meanings. Tam, that. Twa, you. Akhila, of all. Atma, the supreme soul. Daita, the most dear. Ishwaram, and the supreme controller. Ashritanam, of those who take shelter of you. Sarva Artha, of all perfections. Dam, the bestower. Swakrit, the benefit you have given. With, who knows. Visrijeta, can reject. Kah, who. Nu, indeed. Kah, who. Va, or. Bhajet, can accept. Kim api, anything. Vismritaye, for forgetfulness. Anu, consequently. Bhutyaye, for sense gratification. Kim, what. Va, or. Bhavet, is. Na, not. Tava, your. Pada, of the lotus feet. Rajah, the dust. Jusham, for those who are serving. Nah, ourselves. Translation and purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Translation. Who then could dare reject you, the very soul, the most dear object of worship, and the supreme Lord of all? You who give all possible perfections to the devotees who take shelter of you. Who could be so ungrateful, knowing the benefits you bestow? Who would reject you and accept something for the sake of material enjoyment, which simply leads to forgetfulness of you? And what lack is there for us who are engaged in the service of the dust of your lotus feet? Purport. As stated in the Narayaniya of the Moksha Dharma in Sri Mahabharat, Yavai sadhana sampatti purushartha chatushtaye taya vina tad apnoti naro narayanashrayah. Whatever among the four goals of human life can be achieved by various spiritual practices is automatically achieved without such endeavors by the person who has taken shelter of Lord Narayan, the refuge of all persons. Thus, a Krishna-conscious person knows that he will obtain all perfection of life simply by surrendering to the devotional service of Lord Krishna. This is the highest state of yoga, as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita.
Om Jnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guroho Shri Yuta Padakamalam, Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha, Shri Rupam Sagrajatam, Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam, Sadvaitam Savadhutam, Parijana Sahitam, Krishna Chaitanya Devam, Shri Radha Krishna Padan, Sahagana Lalita, Shri Vishakhan Vitamscha, He Krishna Karuna Sindhu, Dina Bandho Jagatpate, Gopesha Gopika Kanta, Radha Kanta Namostute, Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi, Radhe Vrindavaneshwari, Vrishabhanu Sute Devi, Pranamami Hari Priye, Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha, Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha, Patitanam Pavanebhyo, Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha, Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Shri Advaita Gadadhar, Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna. So first of all, I would like to seek the blessings of all the devotees assembled here so that we can speak something on Srimad Bhagavatam. So here in this 29th chapter, the last chapter of Uddhava Gita, we are coming to a conclusion of the discussion between Krishna and Uddhava. And Krishna has been trying to explain a variety of connectivity options. How Uddhava can strongly connect to Krishna is describing all the different yoga systems, the process of deity worship. But then just like Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita, Uddhava is also not very much impressed by all the other processes. He is looking for the best. And therefore in this last chapter, the last leg of the discussion between both of them, Krishna is enlightening Uddhava in the subject of devotional service, bhakti yoga. And Uddhava, in the previous verses prior to this particular verse, Uddhava, he is highlighting that how these other processes, especially the process of jnana yoga, it's very difficult for someone who doesn't have his mind under control. And he gives a comparison that how these yogis, they become frustrated when they can't achieve perfection in trying to control their minds. And on the other hand, Uddhava is saying that swan-like men, they, for them, happiness is natural because they have taken shelter of your lotus feet, who are the source of transcendental ecstasy. Uddhava is mentioning this to Krishna, and in the previous verse he is yet again highlighting his intimate relationship with the devotees, how Krishna has a very intimate relationship with the devotees who have taken exclusive shelter of him. And this particular verse is kind of a different. Here Uddhava is giving four exclamations. How could someone reject you? He's giving these four exclamations here in this verse. How could someone reject you who are the possessor of, you know, certain qualities? He's highlighting certain qualities. And then he's saying, who could be so ungrateful after knowing the benefits that you bestow? And how could someone accept something for the sake of material enjoyment, which is just a source of frustration? And what lack is there for someone engaged in Krishna's service? So these four exclamations, they are like rhetorical questions. Now, rhetorical question is something wherein you don't expect an answer for it, or the answer is implied in the question itself. Like I remember in our school days when you used to come back from play in the evening, late evening if you used to come back. So the mother would ask, my mom would ask me that, is this the time someone comes home? You know? Now, you don't expect an answer, is whether a yes or a no. It is implied. You know? So similarly here, Uddhava is glorifying Krishna. How could someone reject you? So he's not expecting an answer. How could someone reject you? How could someone be so ungrateful? How could someone accept something for the sake of material enjoyment? But these rhetorical questions are nothing but glorification of Krishna. And today in our discussion, we'll take a close look at these four questions that Uddhava is asking, or these four exclamations of Uddhava, these four glorifications of Krishna, sorry. These four glorifications of Krishna that Uddhava is doing. Now it is said that whenever we approach the scriptures, there are two ways in which we could approach the scriptures. The first way is appreciating the consciousness of the devotees who are there in the scriptures, appreciating the dealings of the devotees who are there in the, you know, characters in the scriptures, and appreciating the relationships that are there in the scriptures. So similarly, here we can appreciate Uddhava glorifying Krishna in an exemplary manner. He is figuring out certain ways which is like really, you know, different. So that is one way in which we could approach the scriptures. The other aspect, apart from appreciation is very good. But apart from helping ourselves appreciate these characters or the personalities in the scriptures, there is also certain applications that are implied for us. So what is Uddhava, by means of his appreciation, he is implying and he is trying to convey to us? So we'll try to see that what are these four exclamations of Uddhava. Through these four exclamations, what is Uddhava hinting us to ask ourselves? Herein, in this particular verse, Uddhava is hinting us to ask ourselves certain questions, so that we can also ramp up our spiritual life. We can also improve in our own spiritual practices. So out of these four questions, the first question Krishna Uddhava asks, the first question Uddhava is asking, how could someone reject Krishna who is filled with exceptional qualities? And he is highlighting three qualities here. He is saying Krishna is Daita. He is the most dear object of worship for his devotees. Then he is saying Krishna is Ishwaram. He is the supreme controller. And Krishna is Sarva Arthadam. He is the bestower of all perfections. So these three qualities highlighted in this verse, and also in the previous verse, Uddhava is addressing Krishna as Arochayat. That how Krishna, he has a special affection for his devotees. So these wonderful qualities Uddhava is highlighting here. And Brahmaji in his Brahma Samhita,
He is praying, Yam Shyam Sundaram Achintya Guna Swarupam, that the Swarup of Krishna is filled with inconceivable qualities, is filled with Achintya Guna. As if that was not enough, the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the author mentions a beautiful verse. He said, keep aside these prayers of Lord Brahma. Brahma Adi Rahu Sahastra Vadane Ananta Nirantar Gaye Mukhe Na Paye Gunera Anta. Leave aside Brahmaji and other personalities, even the thousand mouthed Ananta, Ananta Shesh. Nirantar Gaye Mukhe. He is continuously reciting the glories and the qualities of the Supreme Lord. Still he has not been able to reach the end of it. Nahi Paye Anta. And therefore we see that how actually Krishna is not just filled with these three qualities, or he is actually inconceivable, innumerable qualities. And in this world, we find that whenever someone displays even a faint display of some of Krishna's quality, people start developing irresistible attraction for the other person. What to say if Krishna himself is present before us, and you know, our hearts start getting irresistibly attracted to these wonderful qualities of Krishna. Something of this sort happened in the Dwapar Yuga with Rukmini Devi. Rukmini Devi had been hearing Krishna's qualities from the merchants who used to come from Dwarka. And just by hearing those qualities, she developed such an irresistible attraction for Krishna that she is exclaiming, I can't reject you. Here Uddhava is mentioning, who can reject you after hearing your inconceivable qualities? And similarly, Rukmini Devi, she is writing in her letter, she is mentioning, Shrutva gunana bhuvana sundara shrinvatam te nirvishya karana vivarair hartvangatapam rupam drisham drishimatam akhilarthalabham toyachyuta vishati chittam apatrapam me. Rukmini Devi is saying, just by hearing your inconceivable qualities, my heart is irresistibly being drawn towards you. And because of hearing your qualities, all my material anxiety has been subsiding. And therefore, you know, my shameless mind has, you know, landed at your lotus feet. And therefore, I just can't reject you. Now, if we see these prayers of Rukmini Devi, we may also feel that we have also been hearing so many qualities of Krishna. We are hearing every day, in fact, from the Srimad Bhagavatam. We are hearing repeatedly. We are receiving so many of such transcendental qualities of Krishna. And therefore, and even after receiving, why is it that our hearts do not get irresistibly attracted to Krishna? At least that's the case for me. I don't know for many of you it might be. But then at least for me, my heart doesn't get irresistibly attracted to Krishna, even in spite of hearing Krishna's qualities on a daily basis. Why? Because the presence of this conditioned mind is there. Because in spite of the source being perfect, the source from where we are hearing Krishna's quality, and the process of devotional service, the source and process both are perfect. Still, after hearing Krishna's quality in a repeated manner, we are not able to develop that irresistible attraction for Krishna. Because of this conditioned mind. And therefore, when Uddhava is asking that who could reject Krishna, you know, maybe we could also ask ourselves this question. Are we unconsciously rejecting Krishna? Unconsciously, are we also rejecting Krishna? Because we see our insufficient resolve for the anukulasya, our insufficient sankalpa for the anukul things in Krishna consciousness, things that are favorable for Krishna consciousness. You know, on a day-to-day basis, on a minute-to-minute basis, maybe if we inspect for ourselves, maybe our sankalpa may not be that strong. And instead, sometimes we also display, our mind also displays that interest in pratikulasya. We are not able to just cast all that is pratikul always because of this conditioned mind that is present before us. And therefore, yes, we receive a lot, but then how much do we actually reflect based on what we are receiving? Our reception is very strong on a day-to-day basis. Our reception is very on a very regular basis. But are we taking out time to reflect on what we are receiving? And not just that. Apart from taking out time to reflect on what we are hearing, are we explicitly remembering Krishna for his qualities? Because it is that remembrance that is going to remove the material conditioning of the mind. And therefore, Uddhava here, you know, he is wondering that who can reject you? So similarly, we can also ask that might be that yes, when we are chanting, we may be remembering Krishna. When we are hearing the Bhagavatam class, we may be remembering Krishna. But am I actually Krishna conscious throughout the day, throughout the week, throughout the month, throughout the year? I mean, a little introspection will bring about the reality. At least, I mean, I'm explaining it for myself at least. And therefore, in his beautiful bhajan, Vasudeva Ghosh, in his bhajan, Yadi Gaurana Hoiteo, he sings, Gao Gao Puna Gaurangera Guna Sarala Koriyaman. Gao Gao Puna. Repeatedly, you should remember, Gao, within your mind, you should repeatedly remember the qualities of Krishna. Gao Gao Puna Gaurangera Guna Sarala Koriyaman. This process is very simple. Keep your mind very simple. Prabhupada used to say that the process of Krishna consciousness is simple, but not easy. The processes of Krishna consciousness, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam, all these processes, they are very simple. But to do those simple activities in a constant manner, in a repeated manner, in a regular manner, may be a little difficult. Because, again, he says, Eibhava sagare emana dayal na dekhiye kajan. Because in this entire material creation, I haven't seen any other person more merciful than the Supreme Lord. Because it is only by the mercy of that Supreme Lord that we'll be able to remember his qualities in a strong manner. And therefore, through his first question, Uddhava is encouraging us that please ramp up your spiritual life. Please improve in your spiritual life through repeated reception, repeated reflection, and repeated remembrance of Krishna's quality. And that is when, what will be the result of that repeated reception, that repeated reflection, and repeated remembrance? The result will be that your mind will be permanently hooked in remembering Krishna. And that is how you will attain success. Antakale cha mam eva smaran muktva kalevaram. Like Prabhupada used to say that you are permanently afflicted now. Krishna griha griha tatma. You will be possessed by the Krishna griha. So that is the first instruction that Uddhava is trying to advise us. That is the first advice through his first exclamation. That please ramp up your spiritual life by repeated reception, reflection and remembrance. Through his second question, the second question that Uddhava is asking here, the second exclamation that he is mentioning, he is saying, who could be so ungrateful knowing the benefits you bestow? You are bestowing so many benefits, who could be so ungrateful after knowing all these benefits? In other words, Uddhava is prompting us to ask, what is our degree of gratitude after receiving all these blessings from Krishna? Now, Krishna's blessings, they are of two types, especially for the souls in this material world. Krishna, he gives facilitation, He creates the material world because the conditioned soul has a desire to enjoy separate from the Lord. So Krishna creates the facilities. He creates the material world. He gives us the material body, the senses by which the conditioned soul can proceed with his desire to enjoy. So facilitation is one of the blessings by which the soul doesn't feel, you know, suffered in the spiritual world. Whatever makes you happy, Krishna facilitates that. So facilitation is one thing, but at the same time, Krishna knows that just the facilities is not something that is in the ultimate welfare of the living entity. And therefore, along with providing facilitation, Krishna also gives realization through the guru, through the spiritual master. He gives the realization through the devotees, the sadhus, and through the scriptures. Associating with the spiritual master, associating with the devotees, and associating with the scriptures, one realizes one's folly, that I am unnecessarily endeavoring here in this material world, and therefore I need to do something. So along with this facilitation, Krishna also gives this realization. I came a beautiful quote on the mezzanine floor of our temple, where it was written, God, He gives, 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 and forgives. And man, he gets, 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 and forgets. In other words, this bad memory is one of the casualties of Kali Yuga. We forget names, especially, I mean, let me admit that I'm very poor at remembering names. We forget names, we forget numbers, we forget passwords, we forget places. And we also forget people who have done good to us. And therefore, this beautiful word, kritagyata. The word kritagyata means kritagya, remembering what others have done for us. That is kritagyata. This remembrance and reciprocation of what others have done for us is what strengthens relationships in this world. The relationships in this world, they get strengthened by remembering and reciprocating to what others have contributed, how others have contributed to in our lives. And the same remembrance and reciprocation, the same principle applies when we try to re-establish our relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And therefore, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, there is this beautiful pastime of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In the Madhya Leela, this pastime is discussed, that how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, one fine day, he calls all his devotees, and he holds the hands of his devotees, and he says, all of you are very dear to me. I can give up my own life, mind you. You know, this, the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself says, he's saying, I can give up my own life, but I can't give up any of yours association. I can't give up the association of any of you. Now, why is Lord Chaitanya, what makes him say like that? He explains it in the next verse. Why is he speaking like that? He's saying, Tumi sabha bandhu more bandhu kritya kaile, iha ani more jagannath dekhaile. You are all my friends, and you have properly executed the duties of friends by bringing me here to Jagannath Puri and giving me the chance to see Lord Jagannath in the temple. Through this verse, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is thankful to all the devotees for connecting him to Krishna, connecting him to Jagannath. Because he is playing the part of a devotee, therefore he is very much thankful to all the devotees for connecting him to Lord Jagannath. Similarly, it is said that the greatest gift, the greatest blessing of Krishna is the association of devotees that are provided to us. Because it is this association of devotees which connects us to Krishna. And this gratitude for the blessings of the Lord should be manifesting in service to the devotees. And therefore, by means of his second question, the second exclamation, Uddhava is prompting us that please act with gratitude by serving the devotees to improve in your spiritual life, to ramp up your spiritual life. And just the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it also mentions, Bhakta Pada Dhuliyara Bhakta Pada Jal Bhakta Bhukta Avasesha Yetin Mahabal. The author, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, he is giving us the password for achieving immense strength in devotional service. Bhakta Pada Dhuli, or following in the footsteps of the devotees. Ara Bhakta Pada Jal, Bhakta Bhukta Avasesha, Aitin Mahabal. So when we serve devotees, that is when we achieve great strength in devotional service. In the fourth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, the prayers of Dhruva Maharaj. Dhruva Maharaj is praying and glorifying Krishna. In one of those purports, Srila Prabhupada, he writes a very, very beautiful, he gives a very beautiful purport. I'll just read down the purport. This is 4.9.8. Dhruva Maharaj is offering his prayers. And Prabhupada is mentioning in the purport, in the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says that to those who are constantly engaged in devotional service with love and affection, the Supreme Personality of Godhead gives the intelligence from within. And thus, they may make further progress. Being so encouraged by the Lord, the devotees can never forget at any moment the personality of Godhead. The devotee always feels obliged to the Lord for having achieved increased power and devotional service by His grace. So therefore, when the devotee is grateful, when the devotee is obliged to the Lord, that is when he is bestowed with more devotional, that manifests in his increased devotional service to the Supreme Lord and to his devotees. In other words, it's like a cyclic process. The cyclic process is, by rendering service to the Lord and his devotees, the Lord is pleased and he gives more encouragement from within the heart. Tesham nityabhi yuktanam. You know, he gives more encouragement from within. And that encouragement, because of receiving that encouragement from within, the devotee is very much grateful. The devotee is more obliged. And as a result of that obligation, he is more encouraged to serve. He has a stronger desire to serve. So therefore, when Uddhava is asking in his second question, who could be so ungrateful knowing the benefits you bestow? In other words, he is advising us that, you know, express your gratitude with a stronger desire to serve, to ramp up your spiritual life, to improve in your spiritual life. The third exclamation, the third question that Uddhava is asking in this particular verse, he's saying, who would reject you and accept something for the sake of material enjoyment, which simply leads to forgetfulness of you? Who can reject you for something for the sake of material enjoyment, which just results in forgetfulness of you? Now we may think we are on the path of spiritual, enjoyment. There is katha, there is kirtan, there is festival, there is prasad, there are yatras, filled with spiritual enjoyment. Where is material enjoyment in place? Is there a material enjoyment? Is material enjoyment still on our charts? No, Prabhupada said this process is just filled with chanting, dancing and feasting. Chanting, dancing and feasting. But really, is it so? I mean, a little inner query reveals that yes, our consciousness is not just absorbed in the katha, in the kirtan, in the prasad, in the yatras, in chanting, dancing and feasting. Nahin. All of us still have some distance to go before we get rid of all the mentality of material enjoyment. Again, this is a disclaimer. I'm not speaking about everyone else, at least for myself. I have a long way to go before the mind is completely free of the desire of material enjoyment. Yes, the material enjoyment, when we talk about the gross material enjoyments, we may have been successful in abstaining from the gross material enjoyments. But what about the subtle material enjoyments? We'll not get into the details because this may be a little more, intruding. But then, yes, The fact of the matter is each of us still have our own distance to cover before being completely devoid of the desires for material enjoyment. And it's not going to happen overnight. It's not an event. It is a process. Srila Prabhupada, in 1976, in the November of 1976, Srila Prabhupada was in Vrindavan. And his speaking is in one of his lectures. Prabhupada is mentioning this very beautiful lecture Prabhupada is giving in Vrindavan. It's 12th of November 1976. He's saying, to seek relief in this material world, the karmis or the persons seeking material enjoyment, they want to go to Swargaloka or the heavenly planets. The karmis, they want to seek relief in this world, they want to go to the heavenly planets. The yogis and the jnanis, or the impersonalistic philosophers, they want to go to Brahma Jyoti, or the impersonal effulgence of the Lord. Now we may, you know, hear all this stuff and we may think, you know, what to talk of the heavenly planets and what to talk of the Brahma Jyoti. Most of us in this world are today in a lockdown state, not even able to go out of our homes and go out of our temples. What to talk of going to the heavenly planets and going to the Brahma Jyoti? But the thing, it's not a matter of a physical presence. It is a matter of presence of the consciousness. What is our consciousness aspiring for? Is our consciousness also aspiring for constant relief from the material anxiety by meditating on the heavenly pleasures or the, you know, pleasure of merging into the Brahma Jyoti? Further, Prabhupada is writing, but a devotee... So this is about the karmis and the jnanis. The karmis, they are dreaming about the heavenly pleasures. The jnanis, they are aspiring for the Brahma Jyoti, you know, presence. What about a devotee? Prabhupada is writing, it's very surprising. Please listen carefully. Prabhupada is writing that he's saying that a devotee is not seeking relief in this material world. Now that may come as a surprise. Why is a devotee not seeking relief? Because a devotee is not uncomfortable in this material world. Now that is surprising. A devotee is not uncomfortable in this material world. Why? Prabhupada is saying, because a devotee always sees Krishna everywhere, and wherever Krishna is present, then everything is all right. Because that is the view of someone engaged in devotional service of the Lord. The beautiful pastime of Chitraketu Maharaj highlights this. So the episode goes that how Chitraketu Maharaj is flying in his airplane and he sees Lord Shiva speaking about renunciation to his followers, and he has Mother Parvati seated on his lap. Now seeing this, Chitraketu Maharaj, he feels so happy about Lord Shiva that, you know, such an exemplary personality. Who other than Lord Shiva can do like this? He has his consort, Mother Parvati, seated on his lap, and he is instructing on the subject of renunciation to his followers. How amazing is Lord Shiva? And seeing, glorifying the personality of Lord Shiva, Chitraketu Maharaj, he smiles. Now that smile is mistaken by Parvati Devi. Parvati Devi feels that, you know, Chitraketu Maharaj, he is kind of mocking at Lord Shiva. And Parvati Devi, she curses him to take birth. Because you have the mentality of a demon, better you take birth as a demon. Even when Chitraketu Maharaj is cursed in that way, he is not at all disturbed, or he doesn't justify his position. Arey, nahi, 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 this is not what I meant, you know, this is not, please don't, you know, curse like that. Or maybe, you know, give a counter curse which will nullify, when will I be delivered, so on and so forth. No, he accepts it wholeheartedly. Chitraketu Maharaj accepts that curse of Mother Parvati wholeheartedly. And seeing this, Mother Parvati is perplexed. No, how could someone be like that? Even after being cursed, he is not at all perturbed. And that is when Lord Shiva, he helps Mother Parvati. And Lord Shiva says, Narayana parasarve nakutaschana bibhyate swarga apavarga narakeshu apitulyartha darshinaha. That is the characteristic of a devotee. Because a devotee always sees Krishna, therefore for him being in any material situation doesn't matter to him. And therefore, you know, that material enjoyment mentality which we are discussing here, that material enjoyment mentality is going to subside to the degree we also become successful in being able to see Krishna everywhere. And we will improve in our spiritual life. Our spiritual life will be ramped up to the degree our material enjoyment is minimized. Once again, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, this is the Beda Kirtan pastime. So, Sarvam Bhattacharya, he is telling to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that the King Maharaj Pratap Rudra, he wants to have your audience. So, would you like to meet the King? And Lord Chaitanya, he denies it. He says, for a person who is aspiring for, you know, spiritual elevation, for him to have the association of a person who is having a material tendency of material enjoyment is very detrimental. And he says, Niskinchanasya Bhagavat Bhajon Mukhasya Paramparam Jigamishor Bhavasagarasya. Now, Srila Prabhupada, he is quoting this particular verse in that lecture in Vrindavan. In that lecture, Prabhupada is quoting this verse and he is mentioning, very, very interesting, Prabhupada is mentioning that Bhagavat Bhajan or worship of the Lord requires one to be Niskinchana, which has the same meaning as Akinchana. If you want to enjoy something material, there is no question of Bhagavat Bhajan. Because you have even a little pinch of desire to enjoy material comforts, you will not be admitted into the pure service of the Lord. And therefore, bhakti yoga begins when one thinks, no more. Enough of this material enjoyment. And then taking a more compassionate stand, Prabhupada, he speaks further. He says, we have to learn what bhakti is. If we advance in devotional service, then naturally we will lose our taste for the material world. We must know that by taking to devotional service, we can leave the material world. The material world is the place where there is danger at every step. Everyone will have to die. So before death, we must become fully Krishna conscious. The day will come today or tomorrow. Or the day after tomorrow. Nobody will remain here. Now that may sound a little scary, but Prabhupada is point blank. He's saying, nobody will remain here, but success is to remember Narayan or Krishna at the end of life. We should practice that. Don't think, I shall die tomorrow, and because you are dying today, I am better than you. Nobody is going to live here forever. Everyone will die and we must be prepared for it. The devotee has no fear of dying because if he is completely surrendered to Krishna, then he is going back home simply by surrendering to Krishna. So this is a very point blank advice being given by Srila Prabhupada that gradually minimizing the mentality of material enjoyment so that you can unconditionally surrender to Krishna. So there is work that is to be done. And the same advice is given by Uddhava here. Who would reject you and accept something for the sake of material enjoyment, which simply leads to forgetfulness of you? In other words, he's saying that your spiritual life will be ramped up when that material enjoyment mentality will be minimized. So we discussed first was about the remembrance through the first exclamation. Uddhava is encouraging us to repeatedly remember, reflect and remember the qualities of the Lord. Through his second exclamation, he is advising us to act with gratitude. And then he is advising us to minimize our material mentality of material enjoyment. And finally, he is asking, what lack is there for someone who is engaged in the service of the dust of your lotus feet? This beautiful episode where Duryodhan and Arjun, they come to Dwarka before the Mahabharat war, and they wish to get the support of Krishna. And Duryodhan is eyeing on the Narayani Sena, and Arjuna is wanting Krishna. And sure enough, the pastime goes that how they get what they desire, basically. Now the point is, even after getting the Narayani Sena, Duryodhan was in anxiety. Even after getting his Narayani Sena, and Krishna and Arjuna, he was pacified with just Krishna on his side, with a vow, and that too with a vow of not picking up any weapons. This material world is known as Kuntha, a place filled with anxiety. Here Uddhava is mentioning, what lack is there for someone engaged in the service of your material world? But then we see in this material world, everyone is in constant anxiety. To create and find out facilities, to arrange for facilities for our welfare, for our sustenance and for enjoyment in this world. For our welfare, our sustenance and enjoyment, everyone is in constant anxiety to arrange for facilities. And therefore, this anxiety often arises as a big obstacle when we embark on the process of devotional service. We may be wanting to advance in Krishna consciousness. We may be wanting to grow in devotional life. But then there is constant anxiety to arrange for facilities for our continuation in this world. And therefore, in view of such an anxiety, these statements of Uddhava may start appearing irrelevant. Uddhava is saying that, kya dikkat hai? What lack is there for someone who is engaged in serving your lotus feet? I mean, someone can very easily say, Abhi, what to talk of Uddhava? Uddhava is done with it all. He's just about to now go to the Bhadrika Ashram, and he doesn't have that responsibility, He doesn't have that burden, sort of, to create for these facilities. So it is easy to say these words, but then what about our responsibilities for, because of which we have to take these anxieties? And therefore, when such thoughts cross our mind, we need to ask that the statements that Krishna speaks in the Bhagavad Gita, are those statements only meant for good times? When Krishna is saying, Ananyas chintayanto mam yatantascha dridhavrataha tesham nityabhiyuktanam yogakshemam vahamyaham. Now, are these just some quote-unquote the flowery words of the scriptures? Is Krishna just displaying a very, exemplary composition? Nahin. Krishna is speaking this for the good times as well as the bad times. Because all the material anxiety, all the anxiety and the pain in this world is a result of our material attachment to this body and the things associated with this body. This attachment to the body and the things connected to this body is what causes all the material anxiety and pain in this world. But the beauty of spiritual perspective is that it teaches us to rise above this, teaches us to look beyond, and therefore the spiritual perspective saves us from unnecessary anxiety. And this is what Krishna and his representatives, they want to instill within us by way of these instructions. That please don't be present on the level of, just the bodily consciousness. And we see a number of lectures, we see a number of repeated instructions by Srila Prabhupada on this. Prabhupada is repeatedly emphasizing how someone needs, how everyone actually needs to raise himself from the platform of that bodily attachment, which is a cause of material anxiety and pain in this world. This example could be given that just like a child might be very busy building the castles in the sand, and he might be completely absorbed. And the child might be basing his experiences of pains and pleasures based on his successes and his challenges that he is encountering in creating those castles in the sand. And the child might as well be seeing his father seated at a distance and might feel that, why is my father not coming to help me in my challenges I am facing in this particular endeavor? Or even the child might start doubting the capability of the father or the concern of the father for him. That maybe my father is not capable of helping me in, you know, overcoming my challenges and building these castles. Or maybe he is not so much concerned about me. Now that is from the child's perspective. From the perspective of the father is completely absorbed. The father might be completely absorbed in planning something big for the child. In thinking and arranging facilities that will be in the child's welfare in the long run. So similarly, when the conditioned soul, he starts judging Krishna. Why is Krishna not coming to my rescue? Why is Krishna not coming to help me in my challenges? Why is Krishna not removing my material anxieties and pains? And the conditioned soul might, you know, blame or might question Krishna's capability or Krishna's concern for him. That is a very, you know, as the Shastra says, it is balisha. It is childish. And therefore, the conditioned soul makes a mistake when he starts gauging Krishna's capability and concern from his material and selfish perspective. And therefore, there is a need to redefine that perspective. There is a need to raise that perspective from the material platform to the spiritual platform. And that is when one understands that Krishna is actually concerned for our welfare. And when one is convinced of that, that is when one feels completely pacified. When Krishna says, Bhoktaram Yagya Tapasam Sarvaloka Maheshwaram Suhridam Sarva Bhutanam Gyatvamam Shantim Richati. When we understand that yes, Krishna is Suhrida, that is when Shantim Richati, that is when the mind becomes actually pacified. Even though we may be present in a lot of such causes of material anxiety all around us. And therefore, Srila Rupa Goswami in his Bhakti Rathamrita Sindhu, the very first characteristic of pure devotional service, he mentions is Klesha Agni. When one raises his perspective from the material platform to the spiritual platform, the very first thing that happens is relief from material anxiety. And that is what Uddhava is mentioning here. What lack is there for someone who is engaged in your service? What lack is there, you know, for someone who is engaged in the service of your lotus feet? And therefore, Uddhava is advising here in his last statement that please pacify yourself of unnecessary anxiety by redefining your perspective with which you see and operate in this world. So just to summarize all that we have been discussing, that Uddhava is praising here Krishna through four rhetorical questions, and thereafter we discuss that how we may see these questions in two ways. Either we may appreciate, we should be appreciating Uddhava for these glorification of Krishna, but along with appreciation, there is also the aspect of application that Uddhava is prompting us to implement in our life. So he is giving us these four prompts to ramp up our spiritual life. So this ramp is nothing but repeated reception, reflection and remembrance of Krishna's qualities. A, for acting with gratitude for Krishna's blessings by strengthening our desire to serve Krishna and his devotees. Minimizing the mentality of material enjoyment with each passing day, month and year. And finally, pacifying ourselves of unnecessary anxiety by raising our perspective. Not calibrating our pains and pleasures as a result of this material body and its connections, but understanding that Krishna is wanting us to see things from a higher perspective where there is no more material anxiety. With those words, I'd like to finish here. Thank you all very much for your patient listening. If there was something that I spoke beyond my realization, kindly excuse me. Jai Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada ki jai.